Toastmasters is an international organization, and I joined it last March in order to get better at public speaking. I wanted to lift my ability to a better level. And the thing about Toastmasters is it doesn't actually matter where you start, what your entry level is, you can get better. And this isn't just a piece of publicity. I've noticed a lot of other people get significantly better. And it has to be put down to the practice, feedback, and more practice and reflection that they've done at Toastmasters. Okay, that's the end of the blurb and the advertisement for Toastmasters. And I have just one more thing to say. One more little thing that is huge. I have to make a speech on Wednesday. Today's Monday, it's nearly midday on Monday. I'm in my mobile studio, and on Wednesday evening at about 8:15 or thereabouts, I have to stand up and make a speech to a room that'll have about, could have anywhere between 20 and 25 people present. So I've procrastinated, I've faffed around, I've muttered, I've, to myself mainly. I even had a quick word with my son, Ben, over last week about it. Because the speech can be on any topic at all. But the skill, the particular skill that I am aiming to practice on this speech is the skill of using variations in the tone of my voice and the pitch of my voice and the timbre of my voice and the any other word characteristic of my voice that I can think of. But it's about using the voice and through variations to achieve purpose. You have to have a good beginning, a middle, and an end. You have to have structure, you have to have content, and all that sort of thing. But this one is focused particularly on the voice, as opposed to, you know, jumping up and down and using lots of other helps. Using body language is a form of help. Using props is a form of help. Using visual aids is another form of help. But this is all about the voice. The voice. The tiny little voice, which began life bawling its head off in a way that was, well, I was going to say was totally clear and communicated perfectly the needs of the person bawling their head off, the infant. But when I think back to real life as a parent, there were times when I didn't know if the child was hungry or the child was uncomfortable or if even the child had had an unpleasant dream. By the way, the trees, the copper colour of the leaves on the trees is just beautiful, beautiful, as I drive from Cork to Limerick. So you can see me procrastinating again and not cracking on with the words about this speech. Anyway, I've decided on a topic. The name of the topic is, got to try to remember it now because I only invented it this morning, and it's something like this: is being kind to others good for everybody or everyone? So it's a question. Is being kind to other people good for everyone? I mean, you can say, presumably, it's pretty obviously good for the person who receives the kindness. You know, if somebody kindly gives me, you know, 50 euro note and says, look, I've been thinking about you and I think you might, you know, you deserve a treat, here's 50 euros. Or indeed says something like, to somebody else in my hearing, Paul is really good at procrastinating. I've watched him do it lots and lots of times, and he's a real expert at it. I mean, that's really, really kind, and that's a lovely thing to hear. And I suppose it's pretty uncontroversial to say that being kind to another person is likely to make you feel good about yourself. So, is there enough content in the question? I think there is. All my intuition tells me there's plenty of content that could be gathered together and organized and delivered around the question of whether being kind is good for everybody. And I'm thinking, well, to make it interesting, to make it have a spark and bring it to life in some way, I need a couple of examples of where being kind isn't good for everyone. You know, how you can really suffer pain and regret by being kind to another person. And I'm thinking, well, let's suppose you're very kind to somebody and they take advantage of your kindness in order to damage you, take advantage of your gentle side, your soft side, your, and they do something they wouldn't have done to a person whom they didn't consider to be gentle and soft. And so maybe there's a risk that people think that because you're kind, you're a soft touch. Yeah, maybe that's... perhaps I could even begin the speech by saying, look, being kind is really dangerous. It could cause you a lot of heartache. After all, people might take advantage of your kindness. There are plenty of nasty people out there, plenty of unkind people out there who can take advantage of kind people. Perhaps I can have a rant against unkind people. That would demonstrate quite forceful strength of voice. Or maybe a rant can be conducted in a soft, gentle, vicious, double entendre tone of voice. You know, if I had 2 hours, I could fill it. Some great friends of mine, very kind people, John Sweeney, Jane Boyd, and Gigi, Petra Kin, I hope I pronounced her surname right, I always call her Gigi. They've done something very kind recently, publicly. They've provided a bit of inspiration to loads and loads of people about what could happen if you were kind. And they organized a whole lot of people to talk about it. So I could tell the story of that. That could take me an hour if I was to tell the backstory as well. But you know how long I have for this speech? And I have to complete it within the available time, otherwise I will kind of feel disqualified. I have 5 to 7 minutes to talk about the topic. Is being kind to others good for everyone? 5 to 7 minutes, during which I can perhaps make 3 points. Just 3 points. So this time I'm going to have to... Oh, and you're not allowed to speak very fast. It wouldn't be encouraged that you simply doubled the normal speed of your voice so that you could fit in additional points within the available time and thereby make sure that you are regarded as a comprehensive speaker about the topic and thereby build up your evidence. Anyway, all of that kind of stuff isn't encouraged in Toastmasters. One of the principles of Toastmasters is, although it's not written down anywhere, is that people have slow ears. Now, you'll never see that written down, so don't quote me as saying, you know, Toastmasters' high belief is that people have slow ears. But, you know, the rate at which people can take things in is inversely related to the rate at which they're capable of giving things out. That sounded good. I have no idea if it makes any sense, that thesis. So, what am I to do? If you had to make 3 points about the extent to which being kind to other people is good for everybody, what would one of your points be? In fact, if you give me your 6 points, I'd be even more grateful. Because it would kind of... I'm very interested in this topic now, especially interested in this topic for the next couple of days. So I'd like to encourage anyone who listens to this to respond in some way to me on, you know, any way you like, your preferred method of communication, and just give me a point you'd make if you were in a lift and somebody said, look, let me ask you a question. Is it true that being kind to other people is good for everyone? And if so, why? And I only have, you know, 15 seconds to listen because I'm getting out at the next station. Yeah, what would you say? I don't know what I'd say. I know I'd say yes. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Or else, if I was trying to make an impact and be memorable, I might say, no, it isn't. If I was trying to, you know, I have a big impulse, you know, in me. I've always had it from the time I was quite young, to say controversial things, to say things that are different from what other people expect. I'm getting better at overcoming that disability and that, what Eric Byrne would have called that little professor, well, did call that little professor side of myself. Yeah, kind of part of my child is quite a strong, used to be a lot stronger, little professor. Yeah, bit of an imp, bit of a liking to rock the boat. Drop noise into the stream and see how the sound rippled. So, the question is the same as it was at the beginning. Kind, being kind. kindness, I suppose. Not like Loch Ness, the Loch Ness monster, the kindness monster. Yeah, maybe that would be a funny way of starting the speech. You've all heard of Loch Ness and the Loch Ness monster. Well, today I'm going to tell you about another Ness and the kindness monster. The big question in life, the enormous elephant in the room. Let's see, let's use as many cliches as possible. The enormous issue that we find ourselves confronting at every phase of our life. Not just when we have loads and loads of money and we're worried about whether we do our children any good if we give it to them, or if it might actually undermine their sense of self-reliance and their feelings of self-worth and their clarity of personal purpose. Oh yes, now I'm going all over the place. I didn't really intend this to be a rehearsal of the speech, by the way. I have an intention to record a rehearsal of the speech and to share it, because it's always helped me in the past. One of the best things I've found is in preparing for any public speech, and even other kinds of speeches too, but let's just stick to public speaking, that one of the best things I've found is to record on audio the speech. Listen to it. Probably don't even write it down. Well, certainly never write the whole thing down. And then make the speech again a few days later. Not immediately after you've just done it. Let the thing fester. Let the speech fester. Find the proverbial hen. Get the hen to sit on the speech for a while. And then see what the colour of the yolk is like. Oh yes, being kind to yourself is really, really important when you're preparing a public speech. You really could do with kindness when you're doing that. Bye-bye for now. Thank you all very much for listening. And if you have even a quarter of an idea, you'd be very kind if you give it to me. Bye-bye.